Hey everyone, Matt Coleman here, the Director of Athletics at Monte Vista Christian. And this episode, we are talking with someone that is making a positive impact, a very big positive impact in our athletic program. And today I'm with our head girls and boys varsity track and field coach, Coach Jeremiah Spears. So great to have you on our podcast today, Coach Spears.
Hey y'all, thanks. Super stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, great things are happening in our track and field program, especially since you have taken over as our head coach and you're building a sense of community. Your numbers are increasing and you, as well as your coaching staff, are creating excitement for the sport of track and field. So just a quick cheers to you and your entire staff. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, of course. If you have a chance to meet any of the coaches, they're just like a stellar team. We have like a great, great team of coaches. So they're a real joy to be around. So, and they love students really well and they're really good at what they do. So yeah, they're great. Yeah,
they are. All right. So let's reverse and go back a little bit into our recent past and let's talk about last spring. And I know that we don't like to bring that up a lot, but let's go back to last spring and how within 48 to 72 hours, we basically just stopped everything as far as athletics was concerned. So in that moment, you can think through that. What were your thoughts and your emotions as a coach during that time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like right now what I feel like doing is like going fetal and like sucking my thumb on the floor is how I feel like thinking about last spring. My thoughts and emotions, I definitely was, I feel like bummed is like disappointed is just not even a sufficient word. Those aren't sufficient words to describe my thoughts and emotions. We had like such a good year one that I was, that I coached and, to go like to have, number two for our girls in league and boys were co-champions and, they moved us up a league. And so, we start out the season just excited and like, I think also too, our team built such a good community. Like It really felt like family. And I had multiple times where coaches on other teams or people just randomly would come up and be like your team is like, your team's different, And so, So to have to have that and then, you're excited for year two, you're pumped, you're ready to go. You're like this is going to be a good year. And then we start out the year and we, we're undefeated 3-0 and then just legs cut out from under you, like somebody just ran on your runway in front of you and you're like, it's tough, So it was really hard. I was sad. I was really bummed. And, I think I was bummed for a lot of reasons. Obviously it's like, as a coach, you want to do well. Like I'm competitive. I want to win. Sure. Right. So set that aside. Like I want to win, but I want students to develop like emotionally. I want students to develop physically. I want students to develop spiritually. And like that. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't think about when you get a season cut short like that is like, you don't just miss out on like not getting to compete. We missed out on just like really being able to, we met on Zoom and stuff like that, but it's just, it's not the same. So you just miss out on really getting to engage with students like on a whole deeper level. Mm-hmm. And then you think about those seniors who, I think of people like Jing Hao, like David Wong, who they've worked so hard for so many years and then just like, too bad, so sad, that's such a bummer. So there was a lot. That's why I say like bummed or disappointed. I don't even feel like really begin to explain like how I felt as a coach, and I'm sure how most of the athletes and coaches felt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Those words are not adequate. We can't find what those words would be
totally.
Even today. Totally. So through this process, what did you learn about yourself as a coach? And then what did you learn about your student athletes?
Yeah, I would say for me as a coach, I think I think one of the things that I learned was like how much I value like that personal connection, like interacting with students on a daily basis. You know, like because I teach, obviously, like if you don't, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you don't know, like I teach at Montavista as well. I teach Bible and you have a totally different relationship with students on the track than you do like in the classroom. It's just the nature of the beast. Like when you're in the classroom, you know, like the way you're seen is like you give the A or you give the F, you know, that's how you're seen. Yeah. And so, but on the track, it's like you're seen as like what I'm used to being. Like I was a youth pastor for, you know, 7 years. So like, I feel like you have more of that kind of a relationship with students where you're kind of a mentor, discipler, you're a coach. And so I think what I learned about myself is just like, I really miss that, you know, I miss that special time with students, getting to engage with them in that way, to just have fun and laugh and, you know, cheer one another on and those kinds of things. And I think what I learned about my players is, you know, they're a resilient group. Like they love to compete. They're hard workers. You know, we had Zoom meetings after this. Now, granted, like in their mindset, it's like, you know, there's a hope that we're going to compete again, but like, we don't know. We don't know if we're going to come back and be able to compete in some sort of a league finals or anything like that. But, and our students, like they continued to work hard. They continued to show up. We would do, you know, once a week we would do Zoom yoga together or whatever. And, right, yeah. You know, students would show up and engage in the workouts. And so, I think for me, I was like, yeah, they do. They want to work hard. They want to train. They want to do well. And you know, I feel like we have a lot of athletes who, like, they really, really do want to give you their best. So that was like, I think that was fun to see.
Yeah. So as time moved on and we continued to be shut down, and then we knew that there wasn't going to be a season, and we got into the late spring, getting close to the summer. So I'm talking really the period of the summer where actually we were all still shut down. Mm-hmm. How did you cope and survive during that time? What are some things that you did to help you cope and survive?
Yeah, that's like for me personally, just like coping and surviving was trying to maintain relationships with people. Just because, like, you know, you're shut down and you know, for a while there's this like no, you know, getting together with people and quarantine kind of a thing. And so for me, I think it was just trying to like find more relationships, like with people that I could hang out with, that I could engage with. So relationships for me were huge. Mm-hmm. To just stay engaged with those people. You know, I definitely was like calling friends more or texting friends more just to try to like stay connected with people. You know, obviously for me, like spiritually, like spending time in the Word is a real, encouragement for me. And so, and for me, like spending time with God in the morning and like reading, I'm a pretty introverted person. I'm actually very introverted. Most people.
Yeah.
It's like you teach high school Bible, you know, you're a teacher, you're a coach. And I'm like, so for me, like alone time is like so critical. So being able to like engage with, you know, some friends individually, but then also just to have that like quiet alone time with God where it was just like, okay, God, like you're in control. Like you at the end of the day, you're the one who's in control, not me. And, you know, I prayed every day. I don't want to exaggerate. So maybe not every day, but at least every other day. But I prayed every day, if not every other day, that like, God, would you end this so we could come back, you know? Yeah. So, cause I do believe that God's in control of all things. And like, he can work. We've seen him work crazy miracles before. He can work miracles before. He knows what he's doing. But sure. So just like trust in him was like huge for me to like cope and survive, to just trust that, okay, God, like, you know what you're doing at the end of the day. So,
Yeah. So you go through that, and then there's this period of time where we start school back up, which has been a blessing for all of us, and not full, but you know, we're about 50% capacity. And so it's this blended learning type of model. And so you as a teacher, you're kind of learning, you know, as you go with that, you know, and doing the best that you can. And then somewhere in the fall, early fall, your family grew, and it grew quickly. So tell us about what you learned about God's timing. And then talk about a word that I struggle with, which I'm sure you had to have during this time, was flexibility.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I can share a little bit about what happened. You know, my wife and I were our godparents to some little kiddos, and their mom passed away, and so we were had one of them come live with us. And so we now have, you know, just over, well, when he came to live with us, a 1-year-old. So, you know, we went from being childless to, you know, we've been married for 15 years. You know, we tried to have kids, we just couldn't have kids. So then it was like, so we were like, okay, well, I guess we'll just, you know, maybe we'll foster someday. Maybe we'll adopt. That was on our hearts someday. So,
right.
And then literally blindsided, you know, it was like, got hit by a truck. It was just,
yeah.
And you know, with everything else that was going on and trying to learn how to, you know, teach online, and it was, yeah, flexibility is like a very good word. Cause it was, I mean, we went from, you know, nothing to a whole lot in a matter of a couple of days. So, and he's, you know, he's still with us now, and we love the little guy. I just had lunch with him just now, and you know, I love him to death, you know? So I think for me, it was, you know, learning that, like, it was interesting to me to see how, like, I had kind of some downtime, like right before school started, and I was able to get a lot of stuff done for this semester. Ooh. Like a lot of planning, a lot of, like, you know, we're doing this IB thing. So I did some IB stuff and worked on a unit and like all of these things. And I was like, man, I'm just like knocking stuff out. Like, this is so great. I feel so productive. Like, I got all this time on my hands. And then it was like, boom, like, here comes the truck. And it was like, oh, well, gosh, I'm sure glad I had all that extra time. Yeah. So, you know, it really is like, you talk about God's planning and God's timing. And I really do feel like, okay, God, like, you, again, like, you're in control, you know what you're doing. And we live in a sinful, broken world. Like, that is the reality of our world. We live in a sinful, broken world, and sin has affected everything. Mm. And so that, I mean, this is why there are bad things that happen. And yet, like, God's promise is that he'll use it for good in our lives. And, yeah. You know, like, so God is using this, you know, tragedy for good in our life, in our little guy's life, who's staying with us. And so, yeah. Learning to be flexible is definitely one of those things that was like, all right, God, like, you know, getting up early, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and, you know, feeding, and my wife doesn't do very well waking up in the middle of the night. So I was the one doing it. And so,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, and God's timing really, really was perfect through the whole thing.
Yeah. What a blessing just to hear your journey through that, and just the change just seemingly overnight that you all had to make.
Sure.
You know, that's so awesome to hear. All right. So let's fast forward to our fall athletic series. And for people that are listening, they don't know what that is. We kind of created an opportunity for student athletes to come on the campus in a very controlled environment, and doing everything COVID approved, and even with our county guidelines. And we utilized most of the sports here at NBC and gave them a 3-week period of time where they could be sports specific. And so session 3 is our last session, and track and field along with cross country are part of that. So there's 2 parts to this. Don't go to the track quite yet. But how did you feel when your student athletes showed up for the first time to stretch and to work out? How did that feel?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you two things. So one, I was actually talking to students about this when we were our first day, we were up on the JV baseball field. And I was like, guys, this feels a little surreal. Like I think one is, you know, track is usually a spring sport. So it's usually like, you know, it's, you know, we start February 1st, 2nd, whatever day it falls on. And then, you know, so, and, you know, like if you're listening to this and you've played sports before, you have that sport that was like, that was your deal. That like, that was your jam, right?
Right.
For me, like growing up, it was track. So, you know, all the way through high school, through college. And when you have that sport, there's like, when that season comes around, there's certain smells that are in the air.
Yeah.
The sun is always like at a certain point in the sky at like right after school for practice, and your body feels those things. Like if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my body was so out of whack because like we were starting basically like track practice, but not, I mean, kind of, but not, you know?
Right.
And, but it was like, my body's like, wait, it's not the time of year. Like the smells aren't the same, and the sun isn't the sky and isn't the same. And like, so I was a little out of sorts where I was like, is this for real? Is this really like, you know, like, is this real life?
Right on.
But then like, you know, to just like, to have students out there and to just seeing them like warm up, and it was like, oh, like, like just like a deep breath of like, oh, it's like, it's good to be back, you know? So yeah, it was this weird mixture of like two feelings, but it felt really, really good to be out there. And I think it made me hungry for like, for March, you know, when we're scheduled to start for next year. It made me really like, all right, let's come on March.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
It can't get here quick enough, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So then we go to the day that you all were able to get on the track for the first time. And again, for those that are listening, you know, we've always had, you know, we renovated Mustang Stadium. And so we got a turf field. We used to have natural grass and we got a turf field, but then we also got a beautiful state-of-the-art track. And for those that don't know, you know, all of our athletes that played on the field always had a place that they could call home, but track really didn't, because it was just this, when you went down, it was this combo of, if it was raining, it was a little bit of wet. And then you had some dust that always came with you as you walked away from the track. So, so we have a beautiful state of the art, just a blue and black track. And how did that feel? I mean, I know the emotions are probably high as you all came down for the first time, but as you and Michael, I think I remember you guys were kind of like standing back and just kind of watching your runners just run the track. How did that, what were the emotions?
Yeah, I think you undersell the old track a little bit, with a little bit of water and a little bit of dust.
True.
Because so just so we're clear.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That the difference between what we had and what we have is like far greater than the East is from the West.
Yeah. Very true. That's accurate. Much more accurate.
First of all, so, you know, what's been really fun is, you know, I live on campus, so I've been able to, like, I would go down almost every day because, you know, when you love something so much, to see it transforming is like, it's like a beautiful thing. So I would go down there every day and like, you know, butterflies in my stomach every time I'd see something new. And, the day I came down with, and they were striping the track, it was like, I hesitate saying this because it feels really cheesy, but it was like legitimately like tears in my eyes. Like,
yeah, not cheesy.
It feels weird to say that, you know, it's like but it's like, it was like, track means a lot to me. And I love, like, I think you need to talk to my wife to understand how much I love track and field.
Yeah.
but I love track and field. And so to see something like that, so, like, what a beautiful gift from God that we've been given, was just like so overwhelming. And so to go down and like have students be able to run on the track. And, you know, we took a moment as a team, you know, the first group to go down on Tuesday. And we just kind of, we walked real slow, half of the track, just praying and like praying for the track, praying for the stadium, people who would come into that place and that they would know, that they would know God and his goodness. And then, you know, just to like stand at the start finish line and to have them, you know, jog around and to just watch, like, it was, it really truly was a beautiful sight. Like, yeah, it was a little overwhelming, to just like have such a beautiful track. And, you know, it, it was really fitting that the first day we used that track, like it dumped rain, like, like buckets. And I'm usually, you know, I'm pretty cautious when it comes to working out in the rain. I think working out in the rain is good. I don't think it's bad, but I'm very cautious, A, because of injury. I don't want to injure our athletes. I don't want something really, you could really have a really stupid injury in the rain. You know what I mean? So it's like, right. I'm really cautious. And then, you know, you don't want anybody to get sick, obviously. And, but those two things, I feel like for, I was like, it ain't going to happen. Like we're running on this, like as much, it could dump, like it could dump buckets, and you know, it would have to be pretty bad for us to stay off that track for that day. And you know, it was like, we have an all weather track. So officially this, we can now run in all weather.
So
that was fun.
Yeah. That particular day, you know, football was out there on the turf. And yeah, you're right. It was raining literally that whole rest of the time. And I just stood there and I wasn't prepared. I didn't bring an umbrella or anything.
Me neither.
Yeah, but I was soaked from head to toe and I didn't really care.
I totally agree with you. I walked home after practice, literally my pants are just like soaked through. And I, you know, I get in the house and my wife is like, what like happened to you? And I was like, I forgot an umbrella. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. And I just kept telling people, like, so appropriate that it would just dump rain on our first day of using this, of this beautiful track. And, and it was great. We had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So as you look back at your experience overall with COVID-19 and from a coaching and even a person, human being, you know, your experiences, give me two things that you took away from that time period that maybe have changed you for the better.
Yeah, sure. One definitely is like community and reaching out to people. I've always been a little like hesitant to like reach out and like put myself out there to be a part of community. And like, you know, growing up with like my past, I just like had some like, relationships that were like hurtful. And so I kind of like put up these barriers to people. And so for me, it was definitely like one of the things I took away was like, just being able to like put yourself out there and make the effort to connect with people. And you know, people will reciprocate. And so that was definitely one thing I took away from it. And I think the other thing was just like, I have a lot of time on my hands. During COVID I did. I feel like with, you know, with the little guy with us now, that's changed a little bit.
Just a little.
But I had a lot of time on my hands and I just felt like, man, what do I do with my free time? And do I use it? Do I use it wisely? You know, do I use my free time wisely? Do I use it to honor God? Do I use it to stay healthy emotionally? Do I use it to stay healthy relationally with my wife? You know, these days I feel like now I'm trying to use my time wisely to just like take downtime when I can, to stay healthy relationally with my wife, to, you know, love this little guy who's with us for however long that happens. And so, yeah, I think those are probably the two big things that I took away from it.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we're gonna dive right into rapid fire questions.
Okay, all right.
So here we go, getting to know you, Coach Spears, a little bit better.
All right.
So looking back on your memories, where is your favorite family vacation?
Yeah, that's favorite family vacation. That's easy. My wife and I, a few years ago, we took this road trip. We had a minivan and we took the back seats out of the minivan and we just threw some like sleeping mats in there. And we started on we were living in Fresno at the time. We drove from Fresno to like Monterey and then we just drove down Highway 1. Oh. And we spent, I don't remember how many days, literally like all we would do is we would drive on the coast on Highway 1 for, you know, a mile or two. And then we would stop at a beach. We would hang out at the beach all day. We'd go like shower at the beach showers. And then we'd come back up to our car. We'd drive a little way to where you find a pullout on Highway 1. Yeah. And we would just back into this pullout. And then we would just sleep in the back of the van. And then we would wake up in the morning and we'd open the back of the van and like pull out our little chairs on the cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Oh. As the sun is coming up. We drink our like, you know, our little makeshift coffees that we brought and we have these little pastries and then we would, drive, you know, a mile, we'd go to another beach and that's all we did. It was the cheapest vacation we've ever done because we didn't stay anywhere. We brought all our food with us. We brought everything with us. We slept in the back of the van. It was incredible. By far, like we both say, you know, we've gone a lot of places, done a lot of things. You know, driving a van down Highway 1, sleeping in the back was the best by far.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to change my questions now with future guests because I don't know if anyone's going to top that one. That's just, that's good. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
great. Fun.
All right, so you're at a party and they pull out you're at a restaurant. And okay. All of a sudden you get in there and you find out that it's karaoke night and you got to get up there. What are you singing karaoke night?
This is a really hard question for me. I am terrified of singing in front of people.
Yeah. Well, if you asked which one would you enjoy?
I think I would, this is going to sound really funny, but I would probably think, I can't remember the group who sings it, but there's a song, Simple Man.
Okay. Simple Man.
Yeah. I can't remember who sings it, but it's like, I don't know. It's almost like a Nickelback kind of a song.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's not, Skinner, is it?
Yeah, but there's somebody who redid it.
Okay.
And so I think I would totally sing that song. Like if I got the guts to sing, that right. would be the song to sing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not be likely.
So if you're being at a local coffee house and you could have any celebrity, who would you want to meet for a cup of coffee?
Oh man, this is another one that's hard for me. I think I would actually like to hang out with like Steph Curry. Like Ooh. I'm not like a big basketball guy. Right. I'm like not really like I don't ever watch basketball, but I actually like really respect him and the way that he's like lived out his faith in you know, in the media and on the court and off the court. So I think, I mean, like if I were going to hang out with anybody and grab coffee, I'd love to just like hang out with him and get to know him personally.
Not a bad guy to hang out with.
Yeah.
I haven't hung out with him, but I'm sure not a bad guy. To
yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Last question is if you were a warning label, what would you say?
Oh, this is funny. Yeah. I could not think of anything. And then if I were a warning label, what would it say? And it would say warning, extremely loud. And here's why. I'm a pretty docile person. Well, maybe not docile. I don't know if that's a good word, but I'm pretty, like I said, I'm pretty introverted. I'm fairly quiet. you know, on a podcast, you obviously have to talk, but I don't necessarily talk a ton.
Right.
But I have a really loud laugh. And it's just like, it's just like the way God has made me, and it's terrifying to kids. So if I'm around little babies ever and somebody says something, it's like, I laugh once, they're gone. They're just bawling their heads off. They're terrified. So,
right.
Which is, and my wife and I were just talking about this, because the little guy who's staying with us, like I have obviously, you know, he's staying with us right now, and I've laughed really loud, and he's just like totally like into it, and he's laughing with me, and I'm like, oh, that's, she actually just told me today, she was like, you know, he's the first baby who didn't cry at your laugh. So yeah, warning, extremely loud would probably be my warning label.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, it was so good to spend time with you, and thanks for taking a time out of your busy schedule. We really do appreciate all that you do for not only our track and field program, but also what you do in the classroom and out of the classroom. So thanks for your time, and we're praying and hoping that we all have seasons this school year.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Coach. We'll see you soon.